Thank you, Pastor Jeremiah. I just think next time we come, we're going to have a competition. The white people is going to dance against the black people. The pink people against the black people. And we're going to win. Amen. You know what in English they call it when a white man is dancing? It's the white man's overbite. So I want to greet you in the name of Jesus. It's a wonderful privilege for us to be here, and today the daddy's coming to bring good news.
Amen.
I want to introduce you to my wife Lynette. She's only 20 years old. Our kids are big, but she started very young. And I brought my eldest with to just come and share. I believe God is going to do something big in this church today. And I believe the word that I want to bring is going to bring hope. But more than that, vision for the future. I really believe God wants to do a very powerful thing in this church. And that is what I want to share with you this morning. So let's just pray. Our Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just declare that we are empty vessels before you, Lord. But Lord God, our desire is to be used by you, Lord. Our desire is to serve you with all our heart, with everything we have, God. And Lord, I declare that we love you with all our heart, with our mind, with all our strength. And Lord God, in our own strength, we cannot do much, Lord God. But when you come and you empower us, Lord, great things can happen. Then we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, God. And Lord, this morning, as I believe you've given me a message, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. I really pray for impartation of your Holy Spirit and fire upon your people here today, Lord God, your children, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you'll stir the hearts in Jesus' name, that you'll stir us for great faith, Lord God, that you'll stir us, Lord God, to know that we can do all things through you, Lord God. Through in you, we can run against an army. In you, we can jump over a wall. In you, we can know that 1,000 will fall on the one side and 10,000 on the other side. That we can know that if we abide in the shelter of the Most High, no evil shall come upon us. That we can know that you love all people, my God. Father, I want to speak a blessing over this church, God. I thank you, Lord God, that you will bless them. Lord, that you will increase them. You'll protect them, Lord God. Lord, I pray for your countenance to be upon this church, Lord. And Father, I thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength, my God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Right there. I was very sad when our brother, Pastor Morris, died. And we've spoken many times about coming together as a church, your church with our church, and what are we going to do. But as you knew, Pastor Morris, he wouldn't do anything quickly. He was praying first. He was a man that believed that one should pray and not do anything if God is not speaking to us. The first time we met, I believe this man, no, this is not from God. And he said the same. But then the one day, some of you came to our church because God spoke to him. And a friendship started between us. And I was here one day, I shared with my friend, and he prayed for me. And the Holy Spirit came powerfully upon me, and I fell backwards, but I was drunk. It felt like I've been drinking brandy as the Spirit of God came upon me. And he introduced me to his mother. And I felt like a naughty little boy that was naughty because I'd been drinking. But I was so full of the Spirit that I had to meet my friend's mother. But then she said to me, she believes God has put us together and she can see nations of people before us. And then when he died, I thought, God, why? What happened? Why did this happen? But I still believe that God put us together for a special reason. And it's not about me. It's about something that he birthed in this church. So I want to take you to Isaiah 61. It's in the Old Testament. You know the Old Testament. Isaiah is just before Jeremiah. Pastor Jeremiah. Now when Jesus came to the earth, the first time he was presented in the temple, he was a rabbi, which means he's a teacher, and he was meant to read a scripture. But he couldn't prepare the scripture himself. The scripture was given to him. But God, in hundreds of years, knew what scripture his son was going to read. And he read this scripture. He read the scripture in Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus said, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And I want to say to you, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I'm going to read through the whole scripture, but I'm going to break it up in little pieces. And as Jeremiah just said, Eddie just said, we break it open, the word. But I want to go through it very slowly. But don't listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what God is saying to you, what he wants to do through you in this community. The first thing, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Whenever God moved, he poured out his Spirit. Before he created the heavens and earth, the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. And then God said, "Let there be light." When Jesus came, he said to them, "Go to the upper room, wait." And he comes and he brings the Holy Spirit and he pours out the Holy Spirit. And the world changed, because the men go out and they preach the good news to the people. People's lives changed because of the Spirit of God. The very first man that was anointed by the Spirit of God was in Exodus, when they had to build the temple. So God anointed people, the first man, with his Spirit to build, to be a builder, to build the temple. So where you work, ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God, that where you work, you are inspired by the Spirit of God. And great favor will come upon you because you are anointed by the Spirit of God. You are filled, you are drenched with the Spirit of God. That where you work, you'll be favored and you'll be promoted, because God promotes his people, because he brings blessing on his people. God wants to change lives by the Spirit of God. Now it says, the Lord anointed me, he anointed Jesus, but he's anointing us. Jesus Christ, Christ means the anointed one. In Jesus, we are anointed. Because we believe in him, we are the anointed ones of God to bring the good news to the poor. God's heart is for the people to receive the good news. But the poor is not only the poor people. It's also the poor in spirit. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they will inherit the kingdom of God." If you have an open heart to receive from God, God will always bless you. But he wants us to bring good news. And I want to say to you this morning, it's not about the sin that you do. It's about Jesus and what he's done for you on the cross. Don't focus on the bad things you've done or where you've come from. Focus on the cross. Focus on Jesus. In his presence, the sin is taken away. He's already paid the price for you on the cross. You don't have to feel condemned. "Oh, I'm a bad man. I'm a bad man." We all are bad men. Me too. We're all bad people. Saved by grace. When we come to Jesus, he saves, he loves. Who of you have children? What must your child do for you not to love your child anymore? There's nothing. God says you are His children. You come to Him not because of the things you're doing right. Rhoda, if your little one, if they've been naughty, do you say to them, go and sort yourself out and then you come to me? No, you just say, come, you're my child. You love your children. And so God is saying to you, come here because I love you. You don't have to sort yourself out, brother and sister. You cannot never sort yourself out. Just come to Jesus. He wants to change who you are. He wants to change everything about you. Then He says, He sent us, Jesus, to bind the brokenhearted. We've been hurt in the past. Maybe some of you that haven't had a father, or you've been rejected. People have been speaking against you. You've been hurt by your friends. Maybe you've been neglected and just been by yourself. And God's saying, you are my child. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal the brokenness. Also, if you need healing, you are sick, maybe you have the TB, maybe you have the AIDS. God says, I want to heal you, because He is the one that comes to heal all the people. He wants to proclaim liberty to the captives. That means to bring freedom to those ones who are captive, that is in jail by the sin, by the occult, by the drink and the drugs, maybe the sex with the other person that's not married to you. He wants to take those things away from you. In our own strength, we can never do this, but in the presence of Jesus, He takes away the desire to do these things that brings us into captivity. The devil or Satan, he wants to destroy your life. So the more you do these bad things, he comes and he puts a hold on you, and you have these shackles, and you walk with shackles, and you get sick, and you get all these things. But Jesus says, I'll give you liberty. I give you freedom. I want to take all these things away from you. Then He says, He wants to open the prison doors to those who are bound. It means deliverance and freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You don't have to walk and sit with this desire to do the bad things, to go and sleep with a wife that's not your wife, or to drink, or to use the drugs. There's freedom when we come to the Lord. He wants to take all these things away with you, so that He can take you from this place and He put you up there on the pedestal, because that is God's heart for His children, to take them from here to put them up there. With you who have children, mama, you take your child, you want the best for her, you want your children to be up there. So is God with us. He wants to take the bad things and take it away from us, and to put us up there, that people can recognize who we are. We are the children of God. These are my children, and I'm proud of my children. I've paid the price for my children. Then Jesus continued, or the scripture continues in verse 2. He says, the day of vengeance of our God to come. So the day of vengeance means that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming for all our children. And you might be suffering here, but you will share in the glory of Christ. If you suffered here, you will share with His glory. God might redeem you in this world, but He will definitely redeem you in the next world. He will reward you for the next world. And you will live in God's presence, in Jesus' presence all the time. Now, I've heard of people that died, they've been in the presence of God in heaven, and they come back to earth because God sends them on an assignment to come back. There's nothing more beautiful than Jesus Christ. All the men says His eyes are so beautiful. All the women says He's so beautiful. And when they're in His presence, they just don't want to come back because He's so beautiful. He's so full of love. He's so good. In His presence, everything is different. People look different. People become glorified. They look like angels in the presence of God. So all of us have a reward when we go to heaven, when we're going to spend time with our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, I comfort all who mourn. So if you heavy laden and burdened, Jesus says, come to me, because I want to give you rest. I want to change who you are. He wants to give you oil of gladness instead of mourning. And I see in this church, there's lots of oil of gladness in this church, and I rejoice in that, that God has given you oil of gladness. But yes, there's been much mourning. We've mourned for our friends that died, and we don't understand it. But then Jesus comes, and He gives us the oil of mourning because He wants to do a new thing in our lives. And it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. That you understand God's love is all about the joy. It's the joy of God. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. So when you feel down, I don't have a job, my children is in the drugs, or my child is on the street, He says, I'm giving you a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. I will come through for you. I will do mighty things in your life. And then it says, they will be called oaks of righteousness. Now, an oak, for that man there, it's a guy. But for us, it's a tree. It's the biggest tree you'll find. It's a big tree. And it's very, very tall. The oaks. The oak. But you become an oak of righteousness. You have a right standing to stand before God, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Because you believe in Him, you become an oak of righteousness. And you have the same right to stand before God as Jesus has. Isn't that amazing? Not because of what you've done, but because of what you believe in your heart. You become an oak of righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Huh? Hallelujah. You are oaks of righteousness. Say, I'm an oak of righteousness. Hallelujah. And then it says, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. There's a secret in this world. If you want to be blessed, you must be planted in the house of God. In Psalm 92, it says, those who are planted in the house of God will flourish in His courts daily. There is a blessing because you sing here and you dance here. God will bless you for it. Amen. He will bless you because you serve here. He will bless you because you help build this church, because it's God's house. And you must not require the reward from me or from Pastor Jeremiah, but you must say, God, I'm doing it unto you because it's unto you. All of this is not for anyone else, but it's unto the Lord. That there's a blessing because we are planted in the house of God so that God can be glorified. It says there in the scripture. Now this that I believe God is wanting to say to you in verse 4. Are you still in Isaiah 61? Then, because of these things, you shall go and you shall build up the ancient ruins. You shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. God's Spirit will come upon you. It will anoint you to go and to build the ruins. And you might look out here and you say, this is the ruins. The people are drinking in the champagnes. The children are murdering their brothers and sisters at 14 years old. But God is saying, I'm raising you up to go and build and rebuild the ancient ruins. The devastations that come, you, God is going to inspire to break, bring up and to break and to build up. He's going to, many things that goes wrong in life is the result of sin. And maybe your parents were sin, the forefather spirits, and the drink, and the sleeping with other people, and those sins, and the result of that sin is given to us. But Jesus says, on the cross, I paid for those sins. Bring it to me. I take it away. I wipe it clean from you, that you don't have to suffer the consequences, the curses, that you can live in blessing, because God wants to bless you. But this, God wants you to go into the streets and start building the streets. And I just see that the houses are being painted and people are living and people's lives are being changed because of the good news of God, not of what you sang, but because you are inspired by the Spirit of God. Do you believe that God can use you to change, to rebuild the cities? Do you believe that? Not only here in the township, but in the world. Someone's given me a prophetic word that our church will be a safe haven for the nations. A safe haven for the nations. God has called us to go into the nations to bring the good news. All of you, we've been called by God to go into the nations. In Europe, the whole of the continent of Europe is going to hell because the people don't serve God anymore. No one serves. There's no one in churches. People don't get married anymore. They serve other gods. They don't serve the God anymore. And I believe Africa is going to come and change the world with missionaries as they're going to be sent out. In 1720, there was this church. They called it the Moravian Church in Europe, in the Czech Republic. Do you know where the Czech Republic is? Anyone knows where that is? But it's in Europe. And these people were Protestant people. They believed like we do. But then the Roman Catholic Church became the church of the country, and they couldn't worship in freedom anymore. So they were heavily persecuted, and they had to flee the country. And 300 families went to Germany, and they started a church there. But there was many doctrines, many languages, many, much like your church, speaking, and there was no unity. Everyone was doing their own thing. But then they decided, we must pray. And they started praying together. And then God started moving amongst them, and people got healed, and people got delivered, and people got saved. And then they decided, they started seeing God move. And they said, for 7 days, we're going to pray 24 hours. 7 days, 24 hours. Two people, 24 men, and 24 women. Going to pray 24 hours, 2 hours, 4 at a time, every hour, until 7 days is finished. This prayer continued for 125 years. 125 years because God poured out His Spirit upon these people. They planted a church the next year. The first church sent out, within a year, they sent out 70 missionaries to different congregations. The other church sent out 600. No, I'm lying to you. That church sent out 70 missionaries the next year, and the first one sent out, the one sent out 70 missionaries, the other one sent out 200 missionaries. In 25 years, they sent out 3,000 missionaries into the world. One church. Because people started praying together, they believed that God can move. The Spirit of God came mightily upon them, and they sent out all these people. This church sent out more missionaries in 25 years than the whole Protestant church in all of Europe in 200 years. God's Spirit moves, and people get excited. People see what God is seeing, and God is saying we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And people started going into the world. There was this man in America, his name was Jonathan Edwards. He was a lawyer, and then Jesus appeared to him in a dream, and the next day he resigned his job and he became a pastor, and he preached many sermons, but he wouldn't preach like me. And he wasn't shouting like some of the other pastors that preach here. He was just reading his sermon. And as he read the sermon, people fell on the ground and repenting to God because of God's Spirit that was there. But this man in America, 1 million people got saved in 2 years. 1 million people, because God's Spirit just came powerfully over the country. But when his children became lawyers and judges and mayors and pastors and mighty people of God, of professors in the universities, many lives got changed because this man was following God. But there was also an atheist at the same time that was speaking against Jonathan Edwards. His children became thieves and rapists. They were in jail. They became nobodies on this earth, prostitutes. They did a study on this man's life. The difference is the one served God and the other one spoke against God. There's a blessing if we do the things what God wants us to do. Verse 5 in Isaiah 61 says, strangers shall stand and tend to your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Isn't that amazing what God is saying? That other people will look after our things for us as we start doing the things of God. Then verse 6, you can see there verse 6, it says, but you shall be called priests of the Lord, and they shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. God has not called the pastors to do the work of the ministry. He's called his people, his children, to do the work of the ministry. It's not my job. It's not that man's job. It's not this man's job. Kevin, it's not your job only. It's all of our jobs. We are called the priests of God. We are called the ministers of our God. You are a priest of the Lord. Just look at someone next to you and saying, I am a priest of God.
I'm a priest of God. I'm a priest of God.
And God anoints his people to do his work. Do you believe that you are called to be a priest of God? Amen. So now when you walk in the street, you can walk with confidence. I'm a priest of God. Isn't that amazing? God is saying, you are a priest of God. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 2 verse 5, it says, you yourselves, that is you and me, will be living stones being built up as a spiritual house to a holy priesthood. God is saying we are a holy priesthood unto God. Verse 9 says, you're a chosen race. So you're not an Afrikaner or an English or a Khoza or Malawian or a Shona. We're a chosen race. We've got red blood in us, the blood of Jesus. We've got a different blood in us. We've got the blood of Jesus in us. We are the children of God. We are his holy priesthood. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. This is what God has called us to be, a possession of God to go out to share the good news. Verse 7 says, instead of shame, who of you have experienced shame where they said you're not good enough? But God is saying, I will give you a double portion. A double portion will be your inheritance. Instead of dishonor, you shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. God wants to give you a double portion that you can have everlasting joy. And this is not only for you, but this is also for your children and your children's children. So I want to encourage you to ask God to increase your faith, because God wants to raise you us up as a royal nation unto him. Verse 8 says, and this was written 700 years before Jesus came to this earth. He said, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their reward, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. The everlasting covenant Jesus made on the cross. He paid the price with his own blood. The sign of this covenant is the Holy Spirit that he gave us. This is a new covenant. We said, your sins are forgiven. Your sins is paid for. The curses is taken away from you. The curse of this land is taken away for you, because I've paid the price. I paid the price with my life, so that we can be on the receiving end of this covenant. With the covenant in the Old Testament, there was also always a blessing and a curse. And there was blood, and then there was a sign. And they would cut one another open, and they would take their hands, they become blood brothers, and they put ash on the wound that you can see the scar. Then I could show my brother Eddie, we are blood brothers. But then when my brother Philip comes and he wants to fight with me, I show him my scar. said, but if you fight me, you fight Eddie too. But Jesus says, if you fight me, you fight me. Jesus is saying that if you fight my son, you fight with me. Because I've made an everlasting covenant with him. And this covenant is forever, forever and ever. This covenant says in John 3:16, as Pastor Jeremiah said to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus did not come to condemn the world but to give us everlasting life. So this is the covenant that God has made for us. In 2 Corinthians 5 it says that Jesus for our sake became a sin offering. He knew no sin, but he paid the price for all of us so that we don't have to pay the price. And we become the righteousness of God. We become the oaks of righteousness. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, by grace, you've been saved through faith. It's not our own doing. It's a gift of God. It's not the result of works so that anyone can boast. So when you come and you respond to Jesus, you know you respond in faith. And what God does and what grace is the power to overcome sin. Amen. But it's also the power to overcome the curses in your life. God changes everything for you because his love is so big. He wants his children to come to him. Now, Isaiah 61 verse 9 says, their offspring shall be known amongst the nations and their descendants in the midst of the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. So your children will be known and your children's children will be known and be blessed because of who you are, of the decisions that you've made, and people will acknowledge them as the offspring of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of righteousness. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and the bride adorns herself with jewels, so you will be covered with the righteousness of God and the salvation of God. When you became a Christian and you come into the presence of God, God sees a different garment on you. In the spirit, there's this garment, this pure white garment that's put on you, the garment of righteousness, because you've come to Jesus, because you've surrendered. And you might think you look beautiful in your red shirts and your black, but before God, you are white, because you've got a garment of righteousness that is placed upon you. Not what you do. Again, I must say this to you. It's because of who you are. It's because you're a son and a daughter of God. Now verse 11 says, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations. Before all nations. God's heart, it's for the nations. And Pastor Jeremiah, I'm glad to hear there are many nations coming together here, because this is a word I believe God has given me. Before I became a pastor, I was running there in the mountain and I would say to God, God, in Psalm 2, ask me, he says, and I will make the nations your inheritance and I'll give the ends of the earth as your possession. And I'll say, God, I ask you for Somerset West, Strand and Gordon's Bay. And then when I became a pastor, God said to me, you asked me for the nations. Now I've given you Somerset West. So I want to ask you to pray for the nations. Pray for Zimbabwe. Pray for Malawi. Pray for Botswana. Pray for Liberia. Pray for Egypt. Pray for Israel. Pray for London, for Europe. Because God, where God placed in your heart, he's probably going to send you to bring the good news, because God's heart is for the nations. Do you believe that God can send you into the nations to bring the good news? Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. So we pray for the nations. You pray for this environment here. He says it starts in Jerusalem. Then we go to Judea, then we go to Samaria, then we'll go to the ends of the earth. But we start here and we start praying. And the 12th of July, we're doing an outreach here, and we're going to come and sleep in your church. And I ask that you come and sleep with us, that we can become friends. Because we are children, we are brothers and sisters of Christ. And then we're going to go into the streets and we're going to invite people to come to this church so that we can disciple them and teach them about Jesus and share the good news with them. Because God says it's God's desire for all people to be saved. He wants all people. He wants a Changoma man to be saved. Because he sees that man not as a Changoma but as his child. Because he loves him. He's paid the price for him on the cross. He loves all people. God loves people. Now, maybe I can just take you to Romans 10 quickly. If you can just quickly go to Romans 10, verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13. Romans 10 is in the New Testament. This was written to the Romans. These men lived in Rome. They were the Church of Rome. And Paul wrote this letter to them, inspired by God. And he says, from verse 13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So God's heart is for everyone, and whoever calls upon his name will be saved. Will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not never heard? How can they believe in someone they've never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching? How can they hear? How can they believe if no one preached this word to them? Then he says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? But Jesus is saying to you today, I'm sending you. Because you are the priest. You are the priest to go to set to bring the good news. Then he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Your feet are beautiful because you bring the good news. And if you share that message to a friend in the street, if you friend it with you share the message with the neighbor, God's saying your feet is beautiful before him. You are beautiful because you share the good news to people. Now you know, with us white people, we do many things wrong. And as Christians, we do this one thing wrong. We go to these courses and we get healing and deliverance, and we do it for many years, hundreds of years. We just want to get healing and deliverance, but we never go. And I believe it grieves God, because we're self-focused. We focus on ourselves. We do this course and then we do that course and then we do that course and we do all these courses and we're very inward focused. But Jesus says, how beautiful are the feet of those who brings the good news. So I want to say to you, every revival, every move of God, two things. Humility and the hunger for God. Are you hungry for God? Are you humble? Because God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. But if you're hungry and you humble yourself before God, God can do mighty works through you. Verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. I believe God wants to send us to the end of the world to give the good news to his people, so that people can get saved. And God will bless us, because he says, how beautiful are the feet of those. And we will walk in peace, because God's protection will be upon us. Eddie spoke about this man. His name is Pastor Mantofo. He's from Indonesia. He's 30 years old. His church is 60,000 people. Everyone is younger than the children who are 10 years old are being ministered by leaders of 10 years old. They stand in, there was a man, he was in witchcraft, and this man would, every year, he will kill himself, and he will take his intestines out, and he will die. And 3 days later, the demons raise him up from the dead. This was the man that they went to, and he would stand in front of this man's house, and he would say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And that man, Jesus, appeared to this man, he got saved, and his life changed, and then he died after he got saved. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's so much power in the blood. When we go, God will go with us because He is inspiring us to go to reach the nations. This is the heart of God for people, for His children to come to know who He is. I want to take you back to Isaiah, but this time to Isaiah 62. Because this prophecy is about the coming of Jesus. But Isaiah 62 verse 10. Now you're thinking, what must we do? And I'm saying to you, in the name of Jesus, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift it up as a signal over the people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense, his reward is before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. So I believe God is saying to you, church, Stable Ministries, to go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highways, clear it of the stones, that the King of Glory may come in. Amen. Who is the King of Glory? He's mighty to serve. The King of Glory is mighty to serve. Jesus said to his disciples, go proclaim the kingdom of God and heal. Know that when you go in the name of God, and you are going in the name of God because you are priest, you are holy priesthood. You speak the word, and if they have sickness, you pray for them in the name of Jesus. It's not you who heal, but it's Jesus who heals. You just speak. You speak what Jesus has told you. And you don't have to know much. You can just know one thing, John 3:16. If you know that, you know enough. And you can throw John 10:10 in. It says, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. If you know those things, you know enough, because you've received the good news. The Spirit of God is with you. But I want to ask you, read the Bible. I was a very dumb man before I started reading this thing, this Word of God, and it made me a clever man. I'm not boasting in myself, I'm boasting in Christ. Because my life changed when I started reading this word. And I read it every year. I read it through twice every year. I read this word, the New Testament, 3 times at least every year. I read this word because it changed me. And this is where the anointing comes from reading the word and praying. So as Isaiah 61 says, we must go and preach in the name of Jesus. We must heal in His name. We must deliver. We must comfort in His name. We must rebuild, and we must serve. When Jesus was appointed as the Messiah, and they said, this is the Messiah, He's coming into the cities. They knew this is the Messiah that they've been waiting and prophesying over for 1,500 years. When Jesus came, He came to wash the feet. He didn't come in the white suit to stand in front and be known by everyone, and everyone says, pastor, pastor. No, He came and He washed the feet of the people. And so must we be. We must be humble servants of God. It's not who we are to be exalted. We are here to serve, because this is what God came to do. We must never take the glory. The glory is God's. When we come with that attitude, God can mightily use us, because our heads get into the way. Remember Satan. He exalted himself. He wanted to become like God. And now he's in He's on his way to hell. So the same was with us. We must stay humble. We give the glory to God, the glorious God. Matthew 28, and as a church in Shofar, we believe God has given us this. The final words before he was ascended into heaven, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. Now go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go and make disciples of all people. And how do we make disciples of them? We baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we teach them to observe all the commandments of God. We teach them to command this. To obey the word of God. And then Jesus says, behold, I will always be with you. As long as we do the works of God, he will always be with us. So we can go with confidence to our neighbor and saying, do you know Jesus, brother? He changed my life. I'm a new man. I'm a new woman in Christ since I've met him. My children's life had changed. My wife didn't respect me, but now we live together as one. My husband didn't look after me, didn't have a job, but Jesus came and he healed our family. My children were wild and rebels. Now they serve God, and God is doing mighty things through them. Maybe as a lawyer, maybe as a CEO of a company, maybe as a doctor, maybe as a pastor, maybe. But many things that God can do through us because the Spirit of God inspires us. So Jesus says, and I want to say to you, I believe I've got a prophetic word for you, that maybe you look at one another and you see dead bones. But I want to say to you, I see an army. I see an army in the name of Jesus. Jesus is saying the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Pray for the laborers because the harvest is ready. And brothers and sisters, I see a harvest here. And I'm excited about the harvest. But the harvest is not only there. It's also, do you know what a snob is? But they go to that mall there. You'll find them there. But God loves them too. He loves all people. He loves them, the ones on the hill there as well. He loves them too. He loves all of us. He loves all our people. And the Bible says it's more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That's why he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. So for us, we must pray for all people because God's heart is for all people, for the Chinese people, for the Indian people. There are millions of people in China getting saved at the moment. Millions of people in the underground church. In China, in India, Jesus is appearing to the holy men of their religions. In the Middle East, Jesus is appearing to the Muslim holy men. God is coming back, people. But before he comes back, he's going to pour out his Spirit mightily upon us. And when he pours out his Spirit upon us, we're going to see mighty miracles of God, mighty healings. We're going to walk past people and they're going to get healed. And the glory is going to be God, not ours. The glory is going to be God. So I want to ask you this morning, are you hungry for Jesus? Do you have a desire to spend time in the Word, to pray? Do you believe that God can use you? Do you believe God wants to use you? Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God likes you? Do you believe that God likes you? Because he's saying, you're his child and I love you. God loves you. Brothers and sisters, I want you to stand with me as we're going to pray. Our Father, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God. I'm just seeing, Lord, an army of God. But Lord, this army is made out, Lord God, of fathers and mothers and grandmothers, Lord. Faithful grandmothers that have been praying for years. And it's made up of an army of children, God. People who are sold out for Jesus. Everything in them is for Jesus, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you come by your Spirit to inspire us, Lord. And Lord God, I pray for great faith, Lord. Increase our faith, Lord. Because you say those who believe in my name will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. They will cast out demons and they will flee. They will speak in new tongues. The deaf will hear. The blind will see. The lepers will be cleansed. Those who are dead will be risen from the dead. Those who believe. But Lord God, we pray that you increase our faith, God. Increase our faith, Lord. That we can speak to the mountains, Lord. That we can know that, Lord Jesus, you are in the boat. And when you are in the boat, when the storms come, we speak to the storms and they are calm. We can be still and know that you are God and that you will be exalted over the heavens and you'll be exalted over the earth. Oh God, we just surrender to you this morning. We surrender to you. I just want to ask you if there's anyone here who do not have a relationship with Jesus. You don't have friendship with him. You can't call him your father. Is there anyone here who don't know Jesus? You don't have a relationship with him, but you want to know him. Is there anyone like that here this morning? Can I just see if there's a hand of anyone who wants to meet Jesus, who wants to be introduced to Jesus this morning? Is there anyone here this morning? So I take that all of you are Christians. Don't be shy. It's the best decision that you will make to surrender to God. I want to ask, is there anyone that needs healing today? If you have maybe a back pain here in the back and you want God, someone to pray for you that God can heal you. Is there anyone with a back pain here? Is there anyone with any sickness? Can you just bring my... I'm just going to ask some of the men, Donnie, Philip, and Hugh, if you can just pray for... Is there anyone else that needs healing? Okay, then there are some people that I believe must respond because you know that you've been called by God, and I just want to pray and lay hands on you for the Spirit of God to come powerfully upon you so that we can go and preach the good news to the poor. So as my brothers are praying for these sisters for healing, I'm going to ask if there's anyone that wants me to come and just pray over you, that you can lay hands upon you because you want to be inspired by the Spirit of God. I'm going to ask you to come forward. If anyone else wants to come forward, we just want to pray for you. We want to inspire you. I believe this church is called by God to do mighty works of God, and we're going to do it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask my sisters and my brothers here maybe to sing to us a song unto the Lord. And if anyone feels they need to respond to God, that you just come forward, that we can lay hands on you, that the Spirit of God can just come powerfully upon you, that we can trust God for His Spirit to raise you up, that we can go into the streets and do a mighty thing. Oh, thank you, God. I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that is present in this place, Lord God. Thank you, I pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the Spirit of healing, Lord God. I thank you for the Spirit of power and might, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the Spirit of the Lord in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit and fire, God, in the name of Jesus. For your Holy Spirit and fire, God, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, that you come and do a mighty work, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your for healing, Lord God, by the blood of Jesus. I speak healing over every brother and sister here in the name of Jesus, Lord. I speak your healing, Lord God. I speak healing over my brothers and sisters, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. In the name of Jesus.
Now I know. Oh, he touched me, he touched me. Yeah, no.